question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
And we're back. Thanks for staying locked in with us through the breaks. Nice to have you tuned into the show with Mary and me today. Before we introduce you to another inspirational travel story that contains the power of survival and a friendship in our personal connection segment today, we want to share that today's broadcast is made possible by AMA Waterways. And more of your messages involving AMA Waterways, they've been shared with us this week. We love seeing them, so do keep sending them. Here are a few excerpts. Cindy said, I know you talk about all the different places to take an AMA Waterways river cruise, but we can't say enough about their Burgundy and Provence sailings. They're awesome.
Chuck commented, we did the Paris to Normandy cruise last year, and it was great, so great that in fact we're doing another this summer on the Rhine River.
Folks, listen, AMA Waterways river cruises, they're all-inclusive, and the level of service they provide in Europe, Asia, and Africa is industry-leading and award-winning. Check them out at AMAWaterways.com for more information and special offers, or you'll find a link at rmworldtravel.com under sponsors.
Tommy Hendricks and Matthew Smith are two teenagers from Colorado Springs who share a passion for hiking and outdoor adventures. But back in 2016, over their Thanksgiving break from school, the Mount of the Holy Cross in the Rocky Mountains brought some unforeseen life lessons. The boys had already successfully climbed several of Colorado's 14,000-foot or higher mountain peaks and thought they had everything figured out for the next adventure, but Mother Nature intervened. And to help share some of the details of this story with you, joining us on the line for our personal connection segment today are Tommy Hendricks and Matthew Smith.
Hello, Tommy and Matthew. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate your time this weekend. Tommy, listen, Mary, she just discussed a bit of your story, and prior to your experience with Mount of the Holy Cross, I'm curious, how many mountains had you actually climbed?
Myself, I have climbed, I believe, 814ers in Colorado, and summited a few via four-wheel drive roads and a little bit of hiking from the end of the road. So maybe in total, 11 14ers.
And Matthew, are you kind of similar?
Yeah, about that. I think I'm a bit more. I've done around 15 14ers, and then there's also the 13ers or 13,000 foot ones, and I've done a bunch of those too. So a bunch in Colorado.
Well, Tommy, specifically then, you know, how confident were you that you were prepared for this adventure?
I was pretty confident. I feel like a good basis to work with and the right amount of skills needed to take this mountain on, if you will. And yeah, I had done a few with Matthew before, such as Capitol Peak or Pikes Peak, Quandary, and each of those mountains had their own tests, if you will, that kind of shaped our skills that I at least needed for the Holy Cross.
Okay. Matthew, so you guys clearly have experience, and I think it's important for our listeners to know you did have a plan for this, but as we'll find out, things don't always go according to plan. Matthew, take us back to the first few hours of the climb. What was the weather like when you first started, and how were the trails?
It was nice when we started. Actually, when we started our trip, it was supposed to be a two-day expedition. So the first couple miles, we were just hiking along the trail, good conversation. We felt well prepared. One of the things we did is made an itinerary that listed the sheriff's phone number for that county. We left that with our families so that in the event of an emergency, they could call that number. It's mandatory that if you're going into the backcountry, you have one of those.
Sure.
We felt pretty good that first day.
And the conditions were good. All right, so Tommy, now share what you encountered that first night and what you were forced to do to survive the night.
Well, the first night was a planned base camp, and then it was actually the second night that we spent on the summit, and that's where we had to do our survival skills because the conditions were just so harsh. Essentially, we were at the summit or just below it at like 13,900 because Holy Cross is 14,005 feet, and we found these overhanging rocks that were essentially two boulders just stacked on top of each other, and we were trying to find our way down. But it's kind of like looking through a ping pong ball where you can only just see snow and you're like maybe 15 feet of vicinity. And we couldn't find the way down off the ridge. So we just found those boulders and hunkered down for the night. And around like, I'd say 11 o'clock or so, after maybe 3 hours, 4 hours of just sitting there shivering uncontrollably, I was speaking to Matthew in very slow, kind of that stuttered voice like this, saying, dude, I think we should put our feet inside each other's armpits because, I mean, we got to conserve as much heat as possible and keep our extremities warm.
Guys, before we go any further, I want to reintroduce you to our listeners. If you're just tuning in, Robert and I are speaking with outdoor adventurers Tommy Hendricks and Matthew Smith about their survival upon encountering Colorado's Mount of the Holy Cross in our latest Personal Connection episode. So, obviously, that's how you keep body heat. This is really an incredible story. Matthew, after trying to descend, you got stuck in what is known as a Bermuda Triangle of sorts that threw off your compass. And from what we gathered, you kept going around and around. Why don't you tell us about that? And what's going through your mind at this point on the journey?
Well, first off, let me start by saying the president of Vail Mountain Rescue, the mountain rescue group that picked us up, his wife calls the place the mothership because people just disappear on that mountain. It's very complex. You can divide it into the western half and the eastern half. We were planning to stay on the eastern half, but during that night on the summit, we woke up the next day when we began to descend, and it was still blizzarding. And so you really have no sense of direction except for what you know in your mind based off of the direction you need to go from the summit. So we went back up to the summit and we came down. And once the storm had cleared around noon, we saw the valley below. And the valley is actually symmetrical, if you will, to the eastern valley that we were supposed to be.
Okay,
western valley has a similar creek, a similar pond. We assumed we were headed down the right direction.
Right.
When we got there, the creek was flowing another way, and at that point, it set in with us. We've gone down the wrong side.
And that forced you to stay.
To hike out.
Right, and then that forced another night in the below 0 degree temperatures. And at that point, I mean, you guys must have been really panicking.
Yeah, not panicking, more so just totally involved in that moment where,
absolutely,
like, we were so, it was so real that we could only do what worked and we couldn't really do anything else. So we got down in that valley, saw the creek was flowing in the opposite direction, and I remember I was leading, and like we were coming down, following the creek, and we saw these set of footprints. This time it was like right around 3:30, and the sun was getting ready to set around 4:30 or so. So we had like an hour left. We followed these footprints, and they led up onto this little hill, and we followed them, and they were going in a straight line. Now, we followed them, and we ended up exactly where we started them and picked up on them. It was a really bizarre thing. I don't have an exact answer on how that happened, but again, it's just a Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, wow. So you guys, Matthew, for people that are listening to this incredible story, what are some things, really from both of you, that you guys have learned from this situation, and are you both still passionate about hiking and climbing mountains?
We are still passionate about climbing in the mountains. The mountains are a place you should go to enjoy yourself, to find solitude and peace, but they're also a place to respect. Takes a lot of humility. I think our biggest problem, our biggest con, if you will, for that entire trip was the fact that we were a bit prideful. We assumed that the storm forecasted to hit was going to hit when it was forecasted to, and instead it hit a night early.
Right.
The best thing that people can take into the backcountry is a plan, and you should really go with someone. Mm-hmm. And the number one rule, if you do decide to go alone, is the fact that you need to leave in a set itinerary with your family, and you need to not go astray from that itinerary. Tommy and I remained calm the entire time, and I think that was one of the things that saved our lives. He worked with me, I worked with him, he stayed alive to keep me alive, and I stayed alive to keep him alive. And when you take it away from yourself and you go, I have to protect my best friend here, my buddy, my climbing partner, you get this whole new respect for kind of your duty at what you had to do at that time. And that was to survive. That was to get Tommy out so that he could see his family again.
And I know you could
that
do the same.
Yeah.
Tommy,
he sat there shivering in his boots, you wanted to get me back.
Tommy, real quick, in 10 seconds, overall, you and Matthew came through it okay, or any lingering health effects?
Yeah, we had second to minor third degree frostbite. We got rescued on the 23rd and spent Thanksgiving in UC Health up in Aurora, got treated, and we're fine now, back walking and hiking.
Guys, you know what? I'm sorry we're out of time, but very compelling story. We thank you for taking some time to share your experience with us. Mary and I wish you both the best.
Yeah, we're glad you guys are okay.
Thank you.
Awesome, guys. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks for having us.
Very compelling story. Wish we had more time with them, Mary. I know the guys, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but they would have really wanted us to talk about how appreciative they are with Vail Mountain, the Black Hawk helicopter, the rescue team coming to save
absolutely, them. Absolutely, as well as their family and friends.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, folks, listen, please connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at RM World Travel. We're going to take a quick break as Rudy checks in to talk NTSB before Mary and I join you again in about 10 minutes to talk about some of the best state capitals to live in and visit. So stay right where you are. We're back after these messages.
Today's edition of RM World Travel is coming right back. And you can also stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.